Sometimes people translate it as meaning something like, ah, the jewel in the lotus. But actually, a mantra is a sacred syllable that has power separate from its meaning, so it's not really necessary even to translate it. It's only important to chant it, and with it comes the power of Avalokiteshvara. Now, in India and Tibet, Avalokiteshvara is a compassionate deity, and you can imagine that Avalokiteshvara had a feminine side as well. Avalokiteshvara's compassion is also associated with Tara, the protectress, a female bodhisattva of compassion. I've got a text in front of me here that invokes Tara, and it might be interesting to just read a couple of lines of it so that you can get a sense of what a devotee might have spoken in order to bring the compassion of Tara present in her or his life. It goes like this. Om, praise to the blessed noble Tara. Your compassion truly extends equally to all beings on the pathways of rebirth. Therefore, I am surely among those whom it embraces. Your unequaled capacity to save beings shines like the sun on the dark passions, the impurities of the whole world. And I too suffer and am tormented. Oh, the impure misdeeds that I have committed. Often Mahayana liturgical statements like this start out with a statement of your own faults, your own sins, as if to say, you are very great, oh, blessed Tara. I am very small. And yet I know somehow that your compassion is directed to me. So make your compassion known to me, because I know it will in some way help me deal with the difficulties of this life. When those who are injured, whose limbs are being fed on by vermin that have attached, this gets pretty grisly here, who have attached themselves to oozing wounds, smelling of flesh, flowing with blood, suppurating with stinking pus, and so on. Maybe I won't read too much more of that line, but you can imagine what it sounds like. To service at your feet, their physical bodies become beautiful like gold, and their eyes like lotuses. Those whose loins are covered with rags, that are torn and dark with dirt, who pick lice and seek food from others in a broken pot, they will gain universal sovereignty over the earth by propitiating you. You can see the devotional logic at work in these words. They almost sound in some way like the Beatitudes in the Gospels. Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who suffer in the most grisly ways in this world, because for them, Tara, your compassion is ready and available. In Tibet, under the name of Chenrezi, Avalokiteshvara is thought to be the patron deity of the nation, taking form as the monkey who was the progenitor of the Tibetan race, and also taking form as the Dalai Lama. So you sometimes hear a funny tale about Avalokiteshvara in conversation with the Dalai Lama. For people who know something about him, he's understood to be a manifestation of Avalokiteshvara himself. Sometimes when he's talking to American audiences, he gets all sorts of questions, but one of them has particularly to do with the theory of evolution. I heard the Dalai Lama being asked once, well, you know, Dalai Lama, here in this country, some people, some religious people, have a problem with the idea that we are descended from monkeys. What do you think about that? Dalai Lama says, well, you know, in Tibet, we think that the Tibetan nation is really descended from the union of a monkey and a goddess, so we really don't have any particular problem with the idea of evolution. Well, he never says what he ought to say sometime, as I, the Dalai Lama, was that monkey. I, Avalokiteshvara, was there as that monkey when the Tibetan race began. So Avalokiteshvara is visualized as having a particularly close relationship with Tibet and is embodied and made present in the figure of the Dalai Lama. In China, Avalokiteshvara is known as Guanyin, the one in Chinese who hears sounds. During the Tang Dynasty, Guan Yin came to be pictured as a white-robed female deity, like the deity Tara, who was particularly associated with the power to grant children. So people make pilgrimages to the shrines of Guan Yin for the prosperity of the family, as I've mentioned before, and also in the hopes that Guan Yin will grant them children.